So I'd like to look chapter 12, St. John, beginning reading in verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, now they were come to the feast of the Passover, that's the reason they were come to Jerusalem, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. So here's the setting. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and in Matthew specifically, and then up above this, maybe in this chapter of John, it makes some references to this, but in Matthew specifically, it talks about Jesus coming by and touching base with Lazarus and his family as he was coming into Jerusalem, and the people that were impacted with Lazarus being raised from the dead. That was a very impressive thing, was it not? He had been in the grave for 3 days, enough that his sister said, Lord, he's going to be decaying. He's not going to smell very good if we open the door of the tomb. And Lazarus came out. We know that he was restored to health. May have been in the crowd here in Jerusalem. I don't know. Kind of like to think that he came along and was part of this. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and the people were, it says it took the branches of palm trees and put them on the road. And in other places it talks about them taking some of their clothing and putting on to pave and carpet the way for him to ride into Jerusalem. And the cry of Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. It seemed like that they had a vision, doesn't it? It seems like they had a anticipation. And we could go read this, and we'll maybe read a few verses in Matthew, but it seemed like there was a tremendous amount of momentum here. And the Pharisees even made comment that they said among themselves, verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Do you see how we're losing? People are following this Jesus. Look at them out there today. I mean, I don't know if they were peeking out of the window or reports had come to them and they were in the temple, or just, I don't know where they were, but the Pharisees were considered some of the ruling class, and they were supposed to be in charge, and yet they seen it being taken away from them because the mass majority of people were, it was enough that it was a notable event. It wasn't just some random person riding into town on a donkey. There were people lined the streets. I've heard Brother David and others talk about times when famous people maybe came to town and people were just lined up along the road just to be able to catch a glimpse of this leader. It might have been the president. It might have been maybe some celebrity of some sort. But people are just to see. To say that they saw them for themselves. And that's the people were here. And there were some in the crowd that probably first didn't know anything, but they became a Jesus follower for the day at least, because they wanted to see. This is someone that we just heard about. We haven't witnessed any miracles, but it's just, it was gaining momentum. And there was people, I believe, just lined along the street. I believe that the road led all the way to the temple. And there were people, that's the path. They just knew that's where Jesus was going. And so they had people lined up. They was putting their clothes out there in the road. They was putting palm branches. They was crying and out and saying, "Hosanna, this is the King of Israel." And the Pharisees said, We're fixing to be out of business. Our days are numbered. It said here, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." So it's no wonder if we turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter, and that's where the account is in Matthew. If we turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter, it starts in verse 1, but we won't read all of it for the sake of time. I'd like to come down here, verse 10, maybe, beginning. It says, "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved." What did we say earlier? It was a big event. It was noteworthy. The whole city was in a turmoil. Jesus is coming, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God. Now, I believe that the people lined the streets from the edge of town all the way to the temple. That's my perspective. I could be wrong on that. But there was a big crowd on each side of the road, and Jesus marched or rode triumphantly all the way up to the temple. So he went into the temple, and what did he do? Cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that were sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Did you know that public opinion was whatever Jesus said that day was going to be acceptable? Jesus rode in. Can you imagine if a famous person came to town and people were lined the streets to the destination, and at the destination he turned the whole place upside down? People was ready to accept whatever Jesus did that day. There was a social momentum there. Well, you've probably witnessed situations like this to some extent or heard about it. But I believe Jesus had the power to set things in order in the temple without all of that. But he had the support of the people, and the Pharisees and all were running scared. We're talking about what we today are commemorating as Palm Sunday. Whether it happened on this day of the week or not, I'm not here to debate that. It's also in Mark, the 11th chapter. I'd like to go there, Mark, the 11th chapter, and read a verse or two. Mark 11, we could start at verse 1, but we won't read it all again for the sake of time and being tedious. It gives the account of how that they got the donkey and began maybe verse 8. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before them and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Emotions were high. Expectations were high. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. So after Mark says, or this is most likely Peter's gospel and Peter's perspective, he was one of those that was with Jesus, and the disciples, I don't know if they were like the escorts walking alongside the donkey. I don't know how it all, but Peter saw it all, I believe. And so the people on the side were supporting. If Jesus would have said to the people, everybody get your sword, we're going to overthrow the Romans today, they would have been right behind him. Public opinion was whatever Jesus says. He cleared the temple. He got no resistance from the public. He had, I believe there was a real anointing. I believe there was real power because he was the Son of God, and he was able to have the authority to clear the temple. But public opinion was in his favor right then. And Luke, in the 19th chapter, let's go there. Luke chapter 19, in verse 28 is where it all begins. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. I'll skip down to maybe verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, brought this little donkey to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, this is more than 12, folks. This is the multitudes that had followed Jesus, had been there. Maybe they were, I'm guessing that some of the crowd that was here was the ones that was the crowd around Lazarus's tomb. They were all the places that the crowds had gathered. May have not all been the same places and all the different locations, but there was a lot of people that had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. There were sincere people that had come. And they had come not just with the idea of maybe we'll see Jesus there. They'd come to observe the Passover. But maybe some of the people from Galilee, maybe some of the people from the various other places where Jesus had ministered had come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. And while they were here, Jesus came in. It was the icing on the cake for them. They were top of the list. What could get better than to come to observe the Passover and Jesus to come in our midst? So they were gladly paving the way and putting their clothing on the road for him to ride on and to walk upon. Says verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King. All right? that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees from the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Jesus seemed to support the enthusiasm of the crowd, didn't he? But yet, the reality is the crowd missed it. The 12 disciples missed it. Peter had said, you know, it was between this event and the trial that they had the Last Supper together with Jesus, the 12. And Peter had said, Lord, I won't deny you. I'm going to be right there with you. And Jesus said, Peter, you're missing something. Before morning, you'll deny me three times. You're missing it. You know, Jesus, as he was coming in, you know, at one place, maybe it was in this passage, but in one of these places in the account, it says as Jesus came in, I believe he looked over Jerusalem and he wept. He looked over Jerusalem and he wept because, oh, you know, how powerful would it be if all of the crowd's enthusiasm and all the crowd's momentum would have been directed in the right way. But they missed it. They missed it. And the people were crying, here comes our king, the king of Israel, the king of the blessed of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And they were celebrated and they were exhilarated and they were, their emotions were high. They were taking off their outer garments and putting it on the road and wanting Jesus to feel honored. And Jesus even told the Pharisees, if these people aren't crying out, if they weren't praising God, the rocks would cry out. But they didn't know what they was crying out for. They thought they was going to get a king that was going to overthrow the Romans and set the, not just clean out all the money changers and the donkeys and the not the donkeys, they wouldn't have been in the temple, but the doves and the lambs and the all of the stuff that was in the temple for sacrifices and all the business that was going on. Oh, they approved of that. They thought, boy, this is just the beginning. We're going to have a real revolution and we're going to see Israel restored as a powerful nation. But they missed it. You know, it was just a little bit later at the trial, Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would have fought. The people missed it. They were ready for a kingdom on this earth. They were ready for a kingdom to be set up where they would be part of a conquering nation. And everybody would be subdued and Jesus would be their king. That's what they were ready for. Even the 12 disciples, by and large, they'd listened to his preaching. They had heard his teachings. He had tried to help them understand the spiritual concepts. And yet they missed it. They were expecting a climax to Jesus' ministry. And they looked on him as someone like some of those in the not so distant past that had led uprisings against the controlling powers and tried to restore Israel to what it used to be. And I know we read on here and say that, well, Jesus approved of it, or he wouldn't have told the Pharisees the people's got to cry out, or the rocks and the hills would climb, or, you know, the earth would be crying out. I wonder how many people that was in that crowd, when they seen Jesus succumb, I'm going to say it that way, to the arrest and accusation and be crucified. I wonder how many that was in that crowd came and witnessed the crucifixion. I wonder how many of them said, "Boy, that was a disappointment. I got my clothes torn and soiled and dirtied, and all of that hollering I did. I thought we had a winner." I wonder how many of them turned aside and said, when the disciples came away from the day that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, they tarried in Jerusalem. I mean, we're covering a lot of territory here, but when they began to preach the spiritual kingdom of God in the church, the spiritual body of Christ, I wonder how many of them said, "I'm done, I'm through. It didn't meet my expectations." So I want to know today, are we missing it? What are we looking for? If we had a good speaker, I don't know that I'll ever be one, but if we had a good speaker and we had a big crowd, if we had a big event place and where you had to have, you know, you couldn't see the speaker. You ever been in one of those places? I've been in one of those places where the person doing the talking was, there's no way I couldn't have told you what they look like. But they made it to where we have technology today, you know, and they had amplification where I could hear what they said, and they had a camera in front of them, and they had him on a screen that was big as, I don't know, it was huge, big as the side of a barn, so to speak, and you know, they're bigger than life, and you can see them and hear them, and there's 50,000 people in the room. If we had something like that, is that what we're looking for? Are we looking to dominate this world and stamp out evil by sheer numbers? What's God looking for today? The people thought they had something going. I believe Jesus could have told whoever the high priest was that day and all of the scribes and Pharisees, "Y'all can go home now. We don't need you." And the people would have supported him. He could have not only cleared the temple of the money changers and the oxen and the doves and all of the sacrifice merchandise there, he could have cleared the temple of all of its leadership and said, I'm going to set my throne up here in the holy place. Jesus could have done that, and the public opinion would have supported him. But that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. It's John, the 18th chapter and the 36th verse, where he's answering Pilate, and Pilate asked him, said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." You know, Jesus' kingdom, although he wants to reign in my heart today, it's not in this world. And I'm telling you, no matter how unpopular it might be. You know, it could be a popular thing in a big event where thousands of people could gather together and listen to an impressive speaker, that people would get the vision of Jesus is coming back to be our king here, because that's promoted and that's taught out there. But I'm telling you, you're missing it if that's what you believe. It's not, Jesus is not coming to set up a literal kingdom here. He wants to reign in our hearts. His kingdom is not of this world. What is he coming to do? What's he expecting out of us? Think of a couple verses I'd like to leave us to think about today. One is in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter and the 22nd verse. I'd like for us to turn there. It's an old story. We've all heard it many times, where Saul had been commissioned to do God's will and his purpose, and he didn't follow through like he should have. And Samuel said, verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You know, the Lord is looking for obedience in our hearts today to his call and to his cause. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for us to be adherents to the gospel message. He's looking for us to live a careful life, a conscientious life. He's looking for us to be willing to be an example of who he is in our world today. Samuel told Saul, "The Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice." You know, Jesus, I believe he was right in saying, if these people aren't rejoicing, the rocks and the hills would cry out. But they didn't really know what they should be rejoicing about. You know, Jesus was going to be crowned king, but not the way they thought he was going to be crowned king. They thought he was going to get a crown on his physical head. And he knew that the crowning moment was when he paid the price for the sins of mankind. He knew that the end result, his time had come, and that the end result was going to be he was going to pay a price that no man could pay. And the gift of salvation was going to come from that. And he's going to be established forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew that, and the people didn't. You know how much more powerful it would have been if the people would have realized that and still been in the crowd? Think of that. If they had realized Jesus is going to pay the price for my sins. Today, we can say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. And that's powerful, folks. And he's king. He has taken captivity captive, and he's gave gifts unto mankind. He gives us a gift of being able to be free in our spirit and free from the power and the control of sin. It's not a legislative body. But we can call on the name of Jesus today, 2,000 plus years later, and expect his saving power to work for us, and where you and I can be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. And we can be set free. We can be a child of God. We can receive the spirit of adoption. That's what he came to do. That's what his kingdom is all about. What does he expect out of us today? Not to drum up the multitudes and stampede all of the government and overthrow it? I believe it is not his will that any man should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I believe that God would be pleased if from coast to coast, the United States of America would humble themselves and repent. I believe it would be a history-changing event, not just spiritually, but politically. It would change our nation from the inside out. That's what we need, isn't it? It will really change it. I believe it's there. I believe the power of God is capable of saving every man, woman, and child from sin today. It's because he became the king way back then. And he took captivity captive. And the people didn't quite have the concept, did they? They missed it. There's another scripture in James, the second chapter, I'd like for us to go to. James chapter 2. And notice verse 10. He says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What are we missing today? Are we missing it? I hope we're not. It's not my intent to miss it. And I really don't believe it's your intent to miss it. But I just would ask us today, Lord, help me to be willing to be obedient. Obedience, it said, to obey is better than sacrifice. That's what Samuel told Saul. And here James encourages us and challenges us that whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Help us to be careful in our everyday lives, and the steps that we take, the decisions we make. I don't want to miss it. You know, the folks that missed it when Jesus come riding into Jerusalem, the folks that missed it there, they had another chance. If I miss it and go out into eternity and not have my T's crossed and my I's dotted. I'm talking about the ones we know about, folks. I'm not trying to set some mark that God doesn't expect us to reach. We could spend a whole nother message on that, but you know what I'm talking about. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Lord, help us not to miss it and think, I want to name the name. I want to claim the profession or whatever, but I'm not willing to address a real need that I have. I don't want to have one of those. I want to be willing to assess. I don't want to miss it. I want to assess any need that I have today, and I want to really embrace the kingdom of God. What does Palm Sunday mean for us? Jesus came in victorious in the people's eyes, but he left Jerusalem. You know how he left Jerusalem? Anybody know? Well, I'm thinking about that area. He never went back to Galilee, did he? He left Jerusalem going up. He ascended on high. It was another dimension. The Lord wants to take us to another dimension in our life. He wants to take us beyond being under the oppression of sin and its influences. He wants to take us beyond that. He wants to take us to heaven, ultimately, where He's at. And Lord, help us not to miss it. And, you know, may the Lord help us to know how to show compassion to those around us that have this belief that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom here on this earth. He's come to reign in my heart. He wants me to recognize that to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better than me giving maybe all of my money or all of my time or all of this or all of that. It's better than that to obey, to be obedient to God's will and His plan. Lord, help me not to miss it. I don't want to be like those that were in the crowd, maybe on the back of the crowd. And maybe you brought your lawn chair and you had a good seat. I don't know. But I don't want to be one of those in the crowd that, I thought he was going to be a king. And here they crucified him. How can a man that raised somebody from the dead and cleaned out the temple and all of this, how does he get crucified? They missed it. They missed the point. I don't want to miss the point. And this week is the time period that we observe that Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples, and the last time he celebrated the Passover, the last time that the Passover was required to be observed. You ever thought of it like that? You know, we commemorate the Passover, but Jesus came to fulfill that. He came to give us something. He was the lamb that was sacrificed for that lamb that delivered them from Egypt, the bondage. Jesus is the lamb that was given to deliver us from the power of sin. Lord, help us to get it. I don't want to miss it. I want to get the understanding. Lord, help us. You pray for me.